It's Palm Sunday. I hope everybody's excited. Our service is filled with great music and wonderful readings. We have, of course, been here before, have we not? Each year, we start off our Holy Week celebrations with the reading of stories of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. We sing hymns that commemorate these events. This is a time of tradition. It is a time of comfort and familiarity. There are things that we do in this particular congregation, and there are things that are done throughout Christendom. A few moments ago, we heard Elizabeth read the story of Jesus' entry into the Holy City. It's a tale we know well. It's a tale that we could each tell. And there he is, riding in on the donkey, greeted by the crowds. There's a sense of celebration and anticipation and possibility. And there's some people who aren't quite sure what this is all about. But how well do we really know this story? Our experience in the Christian church is that whenever we are comfortable, we know that we should probably take a closer look. Consider, for example, what is the sixth Sunday in Lent called? Palm Sunday. Yet in the lesson we just heard, there is nary a palm frond to be seen. We've got cloaks, and we've got branches. A matter of detail, perhaps. We could say that the branches came from palm trees, but we don't know. If we're taking these details for granted, perhaps there may be other elements of the story that require a little bit more consideration on our part. When we hear great pieces like this from the Bible, we often want to place ourselves in the action, to imagine ourselves as one of the players. Now, I know, as good and faithful as this congregation is, there is nobody here who is going to say that he or she is Jesus. And I suspect nobody here is going to be signing up to be one of the disciples, both because of your humility, a recognition that as deep as your faith might be, it's not as great as that of the 12 who followed Jesus. Nor, because let's be honest, nobody here wants to confess that they would have abandoned Jesus at the end of the week. So maybe, perhaps, we're comfortable saying that we're part of the crowds that are welcoming Jesus into the city. We can see ourselves waving our palms. We can see ourselves cheering, "Go, Jesus!" We're excited. We welcome his entry into the holy city, into our lives. And we tell ourselves that we will not be amongst those who will fall away or even call for his death in just a few days' time. But what of the last group? The people of the city who ask, "Who is this?" I would submit for your consideration that we are those people. That we are asking, who is Jesus? The question is appropriate today just as it was 2 millennia ago. As we welcome Jesus into the holy city, as we welcome him into our lives, we each have our own agendas. We have our own dreams and our hopes, and some might be asking for a Jesus who will come and remake the civic sphere, banishing injustice and inequity. Others of us might be seeking a Jesus who will ground us in a relationship with God that is filled with faithfulness and prayer and purity. And then there are those who will seek some combination of the two. But what they all share in common, even if it is not recognized, even if it is not desired, is a call for change. People are often resistant to change. But that is what Jesus is all about. The story that Matthew tells is grounded in the past. We see its reference to Hebrew scripture with the citations from Isaiah and Zechariah, but it is pointed towards the future, towards the advent of God's kingdom. Jesus' arrival heralds the advent of a new creation, of a new way of being. Of all the days in the Christian calendar, it is Palm Sunday that is most defined by the old ad line. But wait, there's more. The story does not end today. Jesus does not show up and become king with the credits then rolling. Now, the fallen powers of our world would tell us that the story ends on Friday on the cross. That Jesus, whether you see him as a social revolutionary or as a religious agitator or as the Son of God incarnate, will die on a cross. And political and religious and other powers will remain ensconced. The Christian church, of course, teaches that the story does not end on Friday. And that its conclusion will be found a week from today as we celebrate the resurrection, as we proclaim that light overcomes darkness, that love overwhelms hate, and that life has the final word over death. I believe in this confession, but I also believe that is not the end of the story. For Jesus Christ is not simply a figure from the past, but is a reality today. And the work he began on that Easter Sunday continues in this moment, in each of us and in our communities. But wait, there's more? You bet. The kingdom is still being built, and each of us is called to take part in that work, whether through service, or care, or worship, or any of the many things each person here does to strengthen a community, to help a family, to reach out to the helpless and the homeless and those in need. This story is not over. Nor is Lent. I think we suffer from a problem of nomenclature. If you look at the bulletin, it says on the front, Palm Sunday. We should have also noted that it is the sixth Sunday of Lent. Lent runs right through the week. And so the call for us to repent and to reflect and to pray and to adjust and to make amends with God and God's people, it's still there. Of course, that call exists throughout the year. But especially in these days of preparation for the resurrection of our Lord. On this Palm Sunday, I hope that each of us will accept the opportunity that we have been given to reflect on what it would have been like to hear that question, who is Jesus? To ask what kind of Savior it is we seek. To wonder what we seek to be saved from and what we seek to be saved for. The answers are coming. I promise you, there is more to come.